Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Let us pray. Gracious God, as we hear the Beatitudes each week, we know that these are instructions for how we are to live our lives. So, Lord, as we hear the words of being called to be peacemakers, we pray that our hearts and our minds are open to your word. And I pray that the words that I speak, Lord, are yours and yours alone. May we hear your voice in this message in a way that will compel us to be the peacemakers we are called to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to say about being a peacemaker is that does not mean you are a doormat. It does not mean that you lay down and allow people to walk all over you. Being a peacemaker means that we love God and we love one another. It's kind of like being a firefighter. We do our best to prevent a fire from starting, again, without being a doormat. And if a fire is ignited, we do our best to keep it from spreading. A peacemaker strives to calm the stormy spirits of humanity. Peacemakers, where possible, help people reconcile with each other. The joy of having a peacemaker's heart is to promote, to confirm, and to increase goodwill among everyone. We work toward unity even amidst our diversity. We make every effort to maintain that unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. God created us to be in relationship with each other. He created us to rely on one another. He created us to work together with each other. In the fullest extent of the word peacemaker, it means that we work for the good of all people, not just some. Our love is not confined to those who are exactly like us. It's not confined to those who think exactly like us, to those who behave exactly like us, or even those who worship exactly like us. In fact, there are many who probably worship false idols. Right now in America, do you know what the two fastest growing religions are? Islam and Wicca. Wicca is the worship of witchcraft. But there is also a group that is growing much faster than Islam or Wicca, and that is the nuns. And I don't mean N-U-N-S, I mean N-O-N-E-S. Those who do not worship anywhere or anyone. At one time, this country, the United States of America, was a Christian country. That is no longer true. Yes, we still have Christianity in our country, but we are not the majority any longer. What has happened? What has made that change? Well, I believe, for one thing, we went from being peacemakers to peace lovers. And what I mean by that is not wanting to make waves, not wanting to upset anyone. See, peacemakers work for the peace of Jesus Christ. But we have become a country where it's like we don't want to offend anyone, when really we should care about the souls of people so much, and that we want to bring them into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that sometimes they will be offended. Now, that doesn't mean that we tramp on them like a doormat either. What it looks like is different for different people. It may mean working to bring peace and justice to the social conditions of the world. And I think great examples of that are Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa. Those who see the value in someone's life and work in peacemaking to right the wrongs of society. Every day, all over the world, even here in our little corner of the world, there is division and there is mistrust. For others, peacemaking may mean working towards righting that relationship between God and humanity. There are many, for a variety of reasons, who have walked away from God or who have not yet accepted Christ, who have failed to see where God is, whether that's through loss, through misunderstanding, through being hurt by a brother or a sister. They have become angry or upset with God, and they have turned their back on Him, or they have not yet turned toward Him. So there are the peacemakers who work to help others realize that all they have to do is turn around and God is waiting there with open arms, ready to embrace them. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. While we should live to right the wrong in our society, and while we should work to restore relationships, I also believe that as United Methodists, we need to live in the Spirit. And we don't often talk about living in the Spirit, do we? But I don't think that we can be true peacemakers if the Spirit of God is not living in us, if we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. How then is it that we should be living in the Spirit? Now, I don't want you to think that I am telling you that I want you to start dancing in the aisles, or that I want you to start speaking in tongues, because that's what people tend to think of when they are living in the Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with those who dance to the word of the Lord. We know through Scripture that there are those who are given the gift of speaking in tongues. We also know that as United Methodists, we tend to be subdued and quiet, don't we? You know, at one time, Methodists were known as the shouting Methodists. That persona has changed. What I am telling you is that if we are living in the Spirit of God, it means that we are living into the will of God. Now, we may not do that perfectly all the time, but we do our absolute best. Living in the Spirit of God is hard. It's difficult because it's about building relationships. It's about love in action. Are we loving all the time? You might be. But I can tell you honestly, I am not. But our job as Christ followers is to love and to be an agent of peace. We, any one of us here, might be the only disciple of Jesus Christ that an unbeliever encounters in their lifetime. And so if we're not living in that Spirit of God, we might miss the only opportunity that we have to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So I'd like to just share a few traits of what a peacemaker looks like. Pastor Gary Bass says, you can't, and I quote, you can't have the peace of God until you know the God of peace. End of quote. I believe that's true. So to live as a peacemaker, we have to personally know the God of peace. As we study the scriptures and we look at how it is that we draw closer in our relationship to God through Jesus Christ, one thing that we learn pretty quickly is God is a patient God, isn't he? God is patient with us, and we need to learn to be patient with others. We need to remember how it is that we respond to people when they are patient with us. Our response is very different than those who are impatient with us. And so we need to show that patience to others. We need to show them what it means to have the patience of our Creator. Another trait of someone who is living in the Spirit is respect. Disrespect is not a pretty picture, is it? How many of you have ever been disrespected? None of you? If you have never been disrespected, praise God for that. But disrespect can be something as simple as someone jumping in front of us in a line, to somebody standing and screaming in our face, and many things in between. You know what? Every human being is worthy of respect. True story. A man named George, and it was not George LeGrand, was in a hospital, and he happened to be a hospital employee. He was very sick. His son came to visit him one day, and as he was sitting at his dad's bedside, the chief of the hospital came in to see George. George had a conversation with him, and the chief left, and the son was still there, and the janitor came in. And he and George visited for a little bit, and the janitor left, and as he and his son were sitting there, his son said, "Dad, you treated that janitor with the same respect that you treated the chief of the hospital." George said, "Son, let me ask you this question. If the chief and the janitor were both gone for an extended period of time, who do you think would be missed the most?" Every person has worth. Sometimes we fail to recognize that. We fail to recognize the worth of another human being. And even if we don't recognize their worth, we should respect them. Because every person is worthy of respect. The last thing that I would like to talk about, but I'm sure not the last thing of what it means to be a peacemaker, is love. Let us love one another with that same love that God lavishes on each of us. because I don't believe we can have peace if we don't have love. Jesus Christ went to the cross because he loves us. He loves us enough that he died for us. He took all of our sin to the cross with him. And there is no sin too great that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot make it clean. So when we confess our sin and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us the ability to love others as he does. Is it easy? No. It's not easy for two reasons. One, God gave us free will, didn't he? And for some reason, we tend to want to still live into that our own free will, to have things our way. And two, Satan does all he can to keep us from growing in our relationship with Christ. He keeps us from loving one another as we should. So how often do you go to God in prayer? And all of a sudden, Satan is there, having your mind think of other things. I struggled with this for a long time, even after becoming a pastor. I'd hear about those who would go into prayer for hours at a time. I couldn't do that. No matter how many times I tried, no matter where I went, I just couldn't spend hours in prayer. Satan kept attacking me. But as I began to study how Jesus taught us to pray, one thing I realized was Jesus taught us how to pray, but Jesus never told us how long to pray. Last week I talked about living with a pure heart. So what I came to realize is that our prayer lives are unique. So while some of you may spend hours in prayer, I don't. But when I spend time in prayer, I spend time with a true heart. And what I mean by that is I pray when the Spirit prompts me. I get up in the morning, I do my morning devotions and have time of prayer. But I also pray in my car, pray when I walk by people's homes for the people who live there that they may come to know Christ if they do not. I may pray when I am doing something and a memory jogs my mind or reminds me of someone or a situation. And then I'll pray for that particular person or that particular circumstance. I may finish my bowl of ice cream and think about those who don't only have that ability to have a simple pleasure such as ice cream, but don't have food to put on their table. And I pray for them. One thing that I have discovered over the years is that the more I trust God, the more I become like him. I will never, ever in this lifetime be perfect as he is perfect. And neither will any of you. But when we live our lives in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we will find that we become more like him in mind and in spirit. And we will find that we will be able to begin to build those bridges between other human beings, even those we may not like. But remember, Jesus told us that we are to love our enemies. So for those who have the right to be called children of God, we must be peacemakers. And I don't believe there is probably any site on earth that is more peaceful, more uniting than being like God and sharing his unconditional love with one another. So I pray that we here at Wesley are able to go out, ready to build relationships not only with those who are of different religions such as Islam and Wiccans, that we will build relationships with the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and any others who don't know the love and the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.